casa, sobrita de reflejo, dame algo tierno, me como tu amor y cago el infierno. Adiós, 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 inferno, inferno, verne, 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 oh, oh, verne, verne, oh, oh. La, 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 la.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jennifer McCoy, who's the director of the Carter Center's Americas program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. She currently directs the Carter Center's Friends of the Inter-American Democratic Charter Group and previously directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004. She directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru, and spent time in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Uruguay as a Fulbright Fellow. She has also edited and contributed to several books on the topics of Venezuela's democracy, most recently, The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer McCoy.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
And, of course, today, the Vice President Maduro of Venezuela announced the death of President Hugo Chavez at the age of 58. Not exactly a great surprise, I suppose, given how ill he has been and how many cancer surgeries he's had. But clearly, there's going to be a great deal of grief expressed, I would think, in Venezuela. He was a deeply popular leader.
Yes, that's exactly right. Even though it will not be a large surprise, people had been waiting and hoping, obviously, for the best. And I think it will be traumatic for many Venezuelans. There will be a deep grieving period, a mourning period in Venezuela. They have yet to announce the funeral arrangements, but I think there will be a massive outpouring of grief and before the country can talk about how to move forward.
And just before it was announced that President Hugo Chavez had died, the Vice President Nicolas Maduro had made a number of accusations, and two U.S. officials had been kicked out of the U.S. Embassy, an Air Force attaché and another, I believe, military aide, on the basis that imperialist foes in the United States were in league with domestic enemies. And Maduro went on to say that the allegations that Hugo Chavez had been poisoned by imperialist foes in the United States in the way that Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, who died in 2004, may have been poisoned by Israeli agents. So some fairly strange accusations coming out. Is that, can you sort of dismiss that as just a moment of grief getting the best of the vice president?
I would say so, yes. I think that it is a very emotional time and very difficult for those who had been so close to him, worked closely with him, depended heavily on him. And this, the rhetoric against the United States or against other outsiders and against the opposition, I think it's part of trying to deal with the changes that have to come in Venezuela. I hope that strategy or that direction of rhetoric, of divisive rhetoric and accusatory rhetoric will change now. One of the statements that the vice president did make was that he hopes that there will be peace and love in Venezuela as President Chavez gave to his people. So I'm hoping that they will take that line now rather than that divisive line.
And in terms of a succession, it's not entirely clear, is it, under the Constitution, because they sort of punted on the idea of Hugo Chavez having to show up for his inauguration. So the Supreme Court sort of punted on that. So I'm not sure exactly where we stand. Will there be an election, as which I'm...
Yes, because the vice president is not an elected position, it's an appointed position. At any point in the first 4 years of the presidential term, if the president dies, the Constitution says there should be a new election within 30 days. So there should be a new election. There should not be a legal question about that. The only thing, the only possibility I can see for flexibility with that might be if they argued that they need more than 30 days just to organize an election, but it shouldn't be, you know, much longer than that at all.
Well, I imagine then the assumption would be then that the Vice President Maduro, who was handpicked by Hugo Chavez, would be a shoo-in, would he not?
Yes, I think that he will definitely be the candidate on the Chavista side. And then, of course, the opposition would need to name one or more candidates. They've said they want to be unified. They've been having meetings to decide how they would move forward. Given the short time frame, most people are betting that the likely choice would be the former candidate, Enrique Capriles. But, however, they would have to make that decision and make it, you know, very soon after elections are announced, which I believe they have not yet been announced.
Well, Capriles was recently, I believe, in Miami visiting relatives, and that apparently is sort of red meat to the Chavistas. So much of what they say all the time is that the oligarchs that looted the country over the decades before Chavez came in with his Bolivarian Revolution are at work. And my understanding is that Capriles is not a representative of the old oligarchy, but they're doing everything they can to pin that label on him. What's his current movement now?
Well, you know, a lot of that rhetoric, I think, is in preparation for an election. So it's campaign mode rhetoric. Capriles himself is the leader of a relatively new party, started out as young professional parties and young professionals in Venezuela. He has moved more to the left from then, I would say, the origins of the party, but he campaigned on a sort of center-left, social-democratic platform last fall, and I expect that would continue the same, a similar campaign this time around. To continue the social missions, that is the welfare programs that Hugo Chavez's government has carried out to great popularity over the last several years. I think, you know, any candidate for president would probably campaign to continue those programs, for example.
So is there any problems with succession in terms of the military, because there have been some reports that the military have not been entirely happy about the extensive influence that Cuba has had over both domestic and foreign policy of Venezuela. And it has recently, of course, there were a group of students had chained themselves to the Cuban embassy in Caracas in protest to the secrecy surrounding President Chavez's health and the extent to which the Cubans seem to be in charge of his sort of security envelope and all the information about him. And this apparently was galling to some people in Venezuela.
I think that's right. There are certainly different views about the role of Cuba within Venezuela. There is a strong nationalist bent within the military and among others in Venezuela. However, I do expect that the government and Chavistas, all of those who were supporters of President Chavez, will remain united in the near term, certainly through an electoral period and after, because they all recognize that their interests are mutually intertwined and that they need to stick together to move this country forward through a difficult time. Not only through the grieving, but also, as they have been announcing, there are economic policy changes that they've already begun and that they expect to continue. And I think that they will all view the need for unity, at least in the near term, and that differences of opinion, factionalization is likely to come at some point in the future, but more in the medium term.
And in terms of the broader influence of Hugo Chavez in the region, he, of course, is in many ways a protege of the Castro brothers, and he's made no secret of that. And in fact, Castro himself has said that if it wasn't for Hugo Chavez providing subsidized oil, the Cuban Revolution may have gone under because of the shock of losing the Soviet help when the Soviet Union collapsed. Chavez came in and essentially, at least according to Fidel Castro, in many ways saved the revolution. So the bonds there are very clear. But how is he seen amongst the other left-wing regimes in the region? He's obviously somebody that they've seen as an inspiration, I imagine.
Yes, I think the two countries most dependent financially on Venezuela have been Cuba, first and foremost. Secondly, Nicaragua, which has been receiving close to $500 million a year in various forms of aid and discounted oil. That's been important to the Nicaraguan economy. Others in the Caribbean, for example, have been receiving discounted oil as well. That's been very helpful to them. Other countries in South America have been close friends among the leaders of Bolivia, Ecuador, Argentina. They have all professed their deep friendship with Hugo Chavez, tried to visit him while he was in the hospital. And the government, though they maintain their own identity ideologically, do have some affinities with the Chavez ideas of 21st century socialism. So, yes, I think that they will miss a Chavez as a sort of vocal proponent of change and of independence for Latin America, change in the world system to have a more multipolar system, and for ideas of a more left-wing strategy, say, the 21st century socialism to benefit the poor and move forward, as well as some new ideas that he was proposing on the organization of democracy to be more communally oriented and more participatory. Of course, those were some controversial ideas, but those were his ideas for change.
Well, just in closing, Jennifer McCoy, do you see the Bolivarian Revolution continuing without its inspiration?
I do see a lot of support continuing for his certainly the person of Hugo Chavez, the legacy of the man, the myth of the man, and I see his movement continuing, certainly in Venezuela, for some time to come. That doesn't mean that there won't be change in policy, some changes in policy in a new government. I think there will be, but I think his movement and his legacy will certainly live for quite a while.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Jennifer McCoy.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jennifer McCoy, who's the director of the Carter Center's Americas Program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. She currently directs the Carter Center's Friends of the Inter-American Democratic Charter Group and previously directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004. She directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru, and has spent time in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Uruguay as a Fulbright Fellow. And she has also edited and contributed to several books on the topic of Venezuelan democracy, most recently, The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the AIPAC convention underway in Washington, D.C., where incredibly the pro-Israel lobby is seeking to make military aid to Israel exempt from the sequester cuts.
Dollar, dollar.